Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Rule by the consent of the governed is a biblical principle. It is a divinely endowed right. Elections are sacred. And those who encroach upon this fundamental right are traitors of the first order. Warmonger John Bolton was indicted on 18 counts of violating the Espionage Act. He entered his plea, not guilty. They found the documents in his possession and proof that he transmitted classified information to his family. Come on. Wrestling the sword out of the hand of deep state devils continues. Judge Jeanine Pirro is cleaning house. That's the featured items for today. Here are some touch and goes. Gas prices are falling everywhere except California. Below $3 a gallon in 33 states. Oklahoma is the lowest at $2.57. California, of course, is the highest at $4.66. Now, this may be attributed to Trump's call to drill, baby, drill. The U.S. sets an all-time oil production record. Steve Hilton has pulled into the front-runner position in the California governor's race. Stop Gavin's power grab. No on 50. Florida adopted the heartbeat law on abortion. A baby's heartbeat is detectable between 21 and 22 days after conception. However, the fully formed heart with a detectable heartbeat comes in at about 6 weeks. Abortions have already seen a 33% decrease in Florida. That means, however, that two-thirds of abortions are committed before the end of 5 weeks after conception. All right, my friends, let's get with it. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Rule by the consent of the governed is a biblical principle and a divinely endowed right. Now, I've spoken to that quite often. I'm not going to go into the details here. I will Saturday night, Lord willing. But elections are sacred. And those who encroach upon this fundamental right are traitors of the first order. What does that mean? When we say something is of the first order, we mean it is of supreme importance. It's used technically in mathematics, science, and logic to describe the simplest, most basic element of a complex system. The people's right of consent is the most basic element, well, of proper governance, that's for sure, the essential right without which no other right can be sustained. In our constitutional republic, our rulers must confine the powers we give them within the limits prescribed by the supreme law of our land, the Constitution of the United States. And remember, amendments become part of the Constitution when they're adopted. You cannot separate what we call the Constitution from the amendments. They're one and the same. However, the Constitution describes the branches of government and prescribes to each its powers and defines for each its purview. This tells the government what it can do in the name of we the people. It establishes checks and balances between the branches, whereas the amendments proscribe the limits of the government's exercise of its powers. The amendments tell the government what it cannot do. These combine together to form what we mean when we swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Underlying the authority of our Constitution is the essential principle of the consent of the governed. It goes like this: governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. We're not ruled by a king whose whims dictate law. We are ruled under rulers who are confined and limited to exercising the powers defined for them in the Constitution and limited to them by the amendments. Trump is a constitutional ruler. Biden and Obama were tyrants. It's a biblical principle for this present world that the governed must consent to those who rule them. I mean, even in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it requires that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that he rose again from the dead and call upon his name to save us. It's whosoever will may come. All of us born of Adam are collectively joint heirs of the dominion that God gave to Adam in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Dominion over the land, the sky, the sea, the whole earth. This no kings rally nonsense, by the way, includes the heathen's rage against Christ as king. This is an event organized to let the heathen vent their rage against law and order, against the rule of God through the sword of Romans 13 in the hands of the righteous. They rage against the anointed one, Christ. And they do it with violence and force, demanding his bands be broken and his cords cast off. More than 2,500 locations are targeted for these protests, mostly billed as anti-Trump. These people are lawless and oppose the rule of law. They regard the enforcement of law against evildoers, as Romans 13 prescribes and ordains, they regard that as authoritarianism. You got to be kidding me. You know, when wokeism held power in our government, the woke crowd abused freedom of speech and freedom of association. They invaded the sanctity of female sports, their locker rooms, and even their restrooms. These vile people demanded that we recognize their insanity and bow down to their perversity. It was not even enough for these evil people for us to say, well, go ahead, call yourself what you want. No, they had to press us into submission to their delusions and their vile defiance against nature and nature's God. These people who conspired to steal our elections, continuing to count, you know, until they got the result they wanted, providing every way possible to facilitate election fraud, pushing indiscriminate mail-in balloting after the same party in the Carter years, the Democrats, rightly decried that system of voting as being especially susceptible to fraud. Check it out. I remember when the voting machines were introduced in California, I said right out loud in front of God and everybody that would hear me, that's going to be the end of fair and free elections in this state. I knew it in my gut. These things can be programmed and manipulated to produce the result of interested parties. All they needed to complete the fix was a way to hide or to cover the count manipulation with the introduction of fake ballots. Mail-in balloting and extended ballot counting provides cover for the machine manipulation. Those little tricks that they've implemented make it easy to pass an audit, at least superficially. But then came Lindell, you know, 2020, which blew it all up. Check out this link to an interview with Mike Lindell on Alex Jones InfoWars. Very revealing. Dominion voting machines sued Lindell for defaming their company brand. Check out the interview and let me take you to the bottom line. The case did not hear the proofs of Lindell's argument supporting his claims against Dominion. The case remained pretty much one-sided, essentially ignoring the evidence Mike Lindell has accumulated, proving that Dominion machines are problematic and have been used to perpetrate election fraud. Then, and I think it's because the judge could see there was no way around being forced to allow a full hearing of the evidence, he paused his ruling for like something like 6 months. Meanwhile, Dominion arranged a sale of the company to an alleged conservative group. What? And then reconvened the court and literally just took away Lindell's right to a jury trial. He couldn't trust the verdict to a jury. So he announced a summary judgment of guilty and instructed the jury to choose the sentence. He inverted the whole thing. Like everything else these people do, these lawless children of disobedience, these raging heathen, they distort law, bend the rules, stretch their authority out of bounds, and trample upon the rights of God's people. But truth keeps marching on. And here's some great news coming down to us. Let's listen to Tom Fitton share that good news, shall we? This is huge.
Huge Judicial Watch victory for the rule of law on elections. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled an hour or so ago that counting ballots that arrive days after Election Day is contrary to federal law, preempted by federal law. Mississippi counts ballots that arrive up to 5 days after Election Day. Judicial Watch challenged that in court, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals essentially said Judicial Watch is right. This is an historic victory for the rule of law. Too many states count ballots that arrive after Election Day. It's quite obviously contrary to the very notion of having an Election Day. It invites voter fraud and undermines voter confidence. Hopefully this victory is just the beginning and we can get back to Election Day across the nation.
Now this is going to help. It's going to help a whole lot. Thank God. But to save California, the first thing you're going to need to do is vote no on 50. I mean, come on. Newsom announced what his reason was and what his motivation was. He wants to rig the election in favor of Democrats. That's what he's doing, and he's doing it on purpose. He's made it clear to everybody. You got to vote no on 50, no matter what political persuasion you are, if you want to have any kind of integrity at all in the area of elections. And then we need to get rid of universal mail-in balloting, and voter ID needs to be required if we're going to save the state. Otherwise, you know what, California? We're just going to have to make it too big to rig. We need Trump to come out here for a rally and call on his supporters and every Californian who wants to save this once golden state to rise to the challenge to make it too big to rig. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Masks don't protect against viral infection. In fact, they make matters worse, and they signal surrender of your bodily autonomy to the government. If you insist on wearing one, make sure it's white, because you're raising the white flag of surrender to oppression. Does the Bible support a government mask mandate? Government did not create our body, and it does not have the authority to regulate our right to breathe. They say follow the science, but scientists disagree about public masking. The Bible speaks of science falsely, so-called. We should indeed follow true science. This book examines mask mandates from science and the Bible. 964 scientific articles examined. Zero support for masks. And scriptures make it clear. Government authority is limited. It doesn't have the right to interfere with our natural right to decide medical interventions or inalienable rights God has endowed to every human being. Science says the masks don't work. The scripture says government has no authority to interfere with your right to breathe. Let my people breathe. Unmasking the mask controversy with science and the scripture is also available at BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com, Amazon, and elsewhere. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. California! Vote no on 50. It's a power grab. It's an open and obvious partisan power grab. Don't let it happen. And look for Pornima Wag for the 37th district seat for assembly. More about her next week. Hilton is the conservative frontrunner at present. And we need to make it too big to rig, California. Someone who has Trump's ear, please encourage him to come out here and help us. Rally the troops to make it too big to rig. Tom Fitton reported that the Fifth Circuit ruled that ballots can not be counted if received after Election Day. Now, that's going to help us a lot. Now, friend, this No Kings rallies that are planned for October 18th, that's tomorrow. I do the show here on Friday. It airs on Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to break out in 2,500 locations. And they're trying to say Trump is being authoritarian. What a joke. You know, like he's acting like a king. He's the most law-abiding man I think we've ever seen in political office. Nobody has been examined as closely and narrowly as he has been and found clean as the proverbial whistle. He never defied any court ruling during any of the sham trials they were using to persecute him. He was careful to submit himself to the law even when those representing the law were abusing it. Now, he's a remarkable man in a lot of ways. They have given Trump a virtual colonoscopy examination for anything they could find to pin on him, and they found nothing. He is the most squeaky clean citizen in America when it comes to legal issues. It was Obama, Hillary, Biden, these characters. They're the scoundrels that exalt themselves over the law, who see themselves as above the law. They manipulate it, twist it, distort it. They do it at will. They use it as a tool to oppress others. They are worse than an open dictator like Xi or Rocket Man or the vile imams of Iran. These guys are worse because they use the language of democracy, the language of constitutional republic and freedom and liberty and so on, and cry no king, while supporting the arrogant presumption of being the law. They think they are the law and the only ones who have a right to rule. Now, they're the ones who exalt themselves above the law. Hillary violates law, destroys evidence. She's arrogant, puts herself above the law. Obama did the same thing, and so did Biden. Every single one of these wicked people who participated in stealing the elections for these devils has put themselves above the law. That's what making yourself the king is, making yourself the law. Every single time these wicked, violent mobs destroy property and terrorize neighborhoods, they are putting themselves above the law. During the entire Summer of Love, remember that? They behaved with violence, and the leaders of the Democrat Party treated them like they were above the law. Kamala raised money for their bail. Not one Democrat condemned their unlawful, unruly, destructive behavior because they see themselves as above the law. They are the tyrants, and we're trying to restore law and order. God has raised Trump to lead us back under the law. No kings rallies are a sham and a scam, and the sooner we stop devils like Soros buying the sellouts and funding these tyrannical operations, well, the closer we will come to discovering how many Americans truly have bought into their tyranny. All right, let's continue your brain massage here. Warmonger John Bolton was indicted on 18 counts of violating the Espionage Act. He entered his plea not guilty. Now, he's charged with 18 counts of violating the Espionage Act, 10 counts of illegal possession of classified documents, and 8 counts of transmission. Bonding and team have hard evidence of possession and transmission. The documents were in his home, and they have email correspondence in which he communicated classified information to family members. His defense, denial that he misused the documents. Not that he didn't have them or that he didn't write these emails, but that he didn't misuse them. Typical. He'll work to distort the law, to twist the language into meaning something it manifestly does not mean. Possessing classified documents is itself a misuse, and communicating classified information to his family was an abuse of his security clearance access. His legal counsel had better shop for a Biden or Obama judge. Of course, the left is crying retribution and political persecution. Some of you might remember not too long ago when the left was weaponizing the government against Trump. As it became increasingly clear that the people were on his side and wise to what they were up to, well, they started expressing their fears that if Trump won, he would seek retribution. That's the guilty looking over his shoulder, you know, made afraid by his own guilty conscience. I said then the left would characterize any effort to get justice against these wicked people as political persecution. It wasn't hard to forecast. They were trying to position Trump politically into a corner so that his administration would be paralyzed and unable to seek justice for fear of looking like he was trying to get revenge on his political opponents. But what they don't understand about Trump is he's not political. That sounds funny, but he's not. King David often appealed to God to vindicate him against his enemies and false accusers. The argument that because, you know, we did it to you, that kind of argument, that doesn't give you the right to do it to us. Well, that's ludicrous. For Trump's Department of Justice to go after these criminals for their crimes is not at all the same thing as what they did. Not even close. They persecuted an innocent man. Trump is not calling for anyone to be pursued by justice unjustly because they pursued him unjustly. It's so crazy that there are so many, it seems, who fall for this obvious scam. What sort of legal system do we want? One that makes its decisions based on the politics of it, right? In other words, Trump should not encourage his Department of Justice to go after these criminals because the enemies will make it look bad for him politically. You can't be kidding me. That's exactly the kind of president we're done with. We don't want that. We're sick and tired of that. I mean, we're not down with that, friend, but we are done with that. They persecuted Trump because he was a threat to them politically. It was all about politics for that crowd. And for them, it's all about power. And it's important to understand it's all about power so they can break America and fold it into a globalist mold. Now, to say Trump's Department of Justice seeking justice against these people for committing crimes is political is disingenuous. Well, we'll just say they're a pack of liars. It's a ruse. They know better than themselves. They just hope to deceive you. It's intended to direct attention away from their crimes and to paralyze us from acting. Of course, the target of their persecution was Trump, who was criminally abused by them. But listen, in this case especially, it was an attack on the American people. We the people, nowhere in the Constitution, assign to any department of our government the task of protecting the interests of any political party. It's we the people, not we the Democrats. Trump's demand for justice is not only understandable, it's righteous. Like David cried for justice and judgment to fall on the pates of those who persecuted him, Trump calls for justice and judgment to call upon the pates, by the way, the word pates means heads, of those who abuse him. And that's perfectly understandable. However, he is not personally taking that vengeance. He's leaving it with God's ordained sword. If someone says, well, David did not personally draw a sword and go after his political opponents, I would say, yeah, you're right. Trump is doing exactly what David did. He's calling for justice against his persecutors, and he wants it to come from the divinely appointed sword that has been ordained by God for the purpose of executing wrath against evildoers. Have you never read? Speaking of the ordained power under God, the Bible says he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. End quote. Romans 13:4, I believe it is. Wrestling the sword out of the hand of the deep state devils is a lot of work, and it continues. And it is an ongoing struggle. But Judge Jeanine Pirro is up to it. She's cleaning house, friend. Judge Jeanine Pirro called John Hooks on the carpet. That's Jonathan John Hooks, who is or was an assistant U.S. attorney, AUSA, tasked by Pirro to prioritize investigations into three key issues. Biden's $20 billion money laundering climate scam that went down in 2024, leading into the November election. And then number two, doctoring of D.C. crime data. Yeah, that was going on, remember? And then number three, the link between Soros money and funding violent protests, domestic terrorism. Now, this devil deep state mole, John Hooks, used a classic obstruction device called slow walking. He has done virtually nothing to advance the investigation on each of these. And she called him on the carpet for that on September 24. He submitted his resignation the next day to be effective at the end of October. Yeah, well, he was in for a surprise. A few days later, Pirro sent a deputy to notify him that he was fired immediately. Her message was delivered during a farewell party for fellow prosecutors in the D.C. office who were retiring or resigning or whatever, but he was escorted out and not allowed back into the building. Hallelujah. So who is John Hook? Well, he served under Obama and Biden as co-chair of internal investigations. He likely participated in crafting the policy that allowed the DOJ to stretch the language of a little-used obstruction law identified as 18 U.S. Code 1512 to prosecute protesters for obstructing federal proceedings. And we know that he sat on that chair and made rulings relative to the J6 persecutions. The SCOTUS had to scale back their abusive use of that stretched law. Okay? John Hook was promoted to replace AUSA Cooney, who was assigned to Special Counsel Jack Smith's office. You know him, right? The guy tasked to get Trump. Yeah, they're these devils. Every one of them, moles. They were all ready to violate their oath and commit treason against we the people by using the power of the people to persecute their political enemies. I mean, it's no wonder they're trying to sabotage efforts to obtain justice against them for their crimes. It's an ongoing cover-up. It's ironic that they stretched the obstruction rule of 1512 to justify criminalizing protesters, and now they find themselves facing payback for obstructing justice against actual criminals. Okay, I got to wrap it up here. Fauci's in the crosshairs. Dr. Peter McCullough calls for a special counsel to investigate Fauci on charges of fraudulent concealment of critical information we could have used to save lives and advocacy for therapeutics he knew were ineffective and even dangerous, which resulted in the loss of countless lives, giving rise to another charge of mass negligent homicide. Here's a look at the pardon. Look at it in my notes. Interestingly, it extends from January 1, 2014 through the date of the pardon, January 19, 2025. Now, what crimes, quote, might have Fauci, end quote, committed from January 1, 2014 to January 19, 2025? Interestingly, 2014 is noteworthy for the Ebola outbreak, something Fauci was up to his neck in. 2014 marked the beginning of a public release and exposure of the plan they were putting together to deal with a pathogen that basically involved controlling free speech and that they predicted would create global fear and be used to control the world's population. Harari Yuval, a prophet for World Economic Forum, said he believes that when we look back at the COVID pandemic, people will say it was when a, quote, new regime of surveillance took over, end quote. He speaks enthusiastically about the ability to hack human beings. I think when we look back on this period of history, we will recognize what a globalist hack was, Yuval. And hopefully, we will see Obama, Hillary, Biden, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Ray, the whole vile and perverse team here, perp walked and sitting behind bars for their crimes. I have lit the lamps of the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, brainmassage.net. Find the Contact Us button and click Send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. I'll be in my pulpit this Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you in church.